Well, congregation, our scripture reading for this morning, as it is Mother's Day, is Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We'll read all of the chapter. Our focus will be on the second part of this chapter, verses 10 down to the end of 31. But we'll read all of this chapter beginning at verse 1. You'll find it on page 586 of your pew Bible. Proverbs chapter 1, and let us hear the wisdom of our God. Very practical wisdom comes to us here in this chapter. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows? Do not give your strength to woman, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night, and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen. May God bless that reading of his own word. Well, before I begin, let's take the opportunity to wish all of you who are mothers here a happy Mother's Day. And whatever you do, I hope you do feel appreciated by your children, and also encourage you, children, to express appreciation to your mothers for all that they do for you. Motherhood is anything but an easy task, and us husbands also, it's easy to take our wives for granted and not to see what our wives do for our children. So it's an opportunity this day for all of us to express appreciation and love to our wives, to our those of you who are children, to your mothers, and I encourage you to do so. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, today is the year, the day every year that is set aside on our calendars to honour mothers, to express our appreciation for them. And so this morning then, as I've intimated, I do want to take this opportunity to look with you at verses 10 to 31 of the well-known chapter we read earlier, Proverbs chapter 31. And I want to take as our theme for this morning, the excellent wife and mother. For that is really the central focus of this chapter and this part of the chapter. Because you see, it's given to us by God to provide us with a description of a wife and mother of excellence, or to give us the divine blueprint for what an excellent wife and mother looks like. And of course, it was originally given, as we learn from verse 1 of this chapter, by a wife and mother to her own son, the mother of King Lemuel. And many scholars believe that Lemuel is actually a pen name for Solomon. And of course, that would mean that the mother of King Lemuel would, of course, be Bathsheba. But there's no way for us to be sure of that. But what we can be sure of is that these words have been left on record for us by God very intentionally for our learning and for our instruction. And they were originally given in the form of an acrostic poem, in which the successive verses each begin with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet in alphabetical order. And so verse 10 begins with the first letter then of the Hebrew alphabet. And then verse 31 begins with the 22nd and final letter of the same alphabet. And you see, for the ancient Hebrews then, this was basically a poetic way of saying that what we have here in these verses is essentially an A to Z depiction of the ideal wife and mother. And of course, it's a picture of the ideal wife and mother. So no mother is expected necessarily to tick every box that is presented to us here. And so it's not something that we present to you so that you can go away and beat yourself up because you think, well, I'm not meeting all of the expectations of the ideal wife and mother. So do bear in mind, it is a picture of the ideal wife and mother. But nevertheless, it's something for every mother to aspire to be and become. And you see, it was given then as a depiction of the ideal wife and mother to serve also as a guide then to young Jewish males, to teach them what kind of qualities they were to look for in a potential wife. I believe actually in every Jewish home, children were required to memorize this passage of Scripture. That's why it was set up in the way it was, to aid memorization. But it also served as a guide to young Jewish females then to instruct and teach them as to the kind of woman they were to aspire to be, so that they would be and become the kind of wife and mother that God was calling them to be. Well, having said that, by way of introduction, let us now turn to look at what these verses tell us about the excellent wife and mother. And so we'll consider firstly her character, then secondly her work, then thirdly her speech, and then in the last place her praise. Well, firstly then, her character, for that is what our attention is drawn to in verses 10 to 12. Where the question is asked, who can find a virtuous wife? And the word translated as virtuous here, it can be translated as excellent or as being of noble character. You see, it's the Hebrew word kahil, which literally means strength and nobility and in all ways excellent. And basically then it refers to a person who is strong morally, person who has excellent character, person who is known then for her integrity, also her ability to fulfill the tasks and responsibilities before her with excellence. And here in this opening verse then, this mother is telling her son to look for a woman with these kind of qualities. But the man who finds such a wife, he finds a good thing, obtains favor from the Lord, as it says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. You see, a prudent wife is from the Lord, as it says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, as it says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. And for all of us here then who have been blessed with such a wife, how thankful we ought to be this morning. How appreciative of our wives we ought to be also. You see, as this verse goes on to remind us, a wife of this kind is not easy to find. And she's of more value to us then than precious rubies, which were among the rarest, most valuable of precious stones in the ancient world. They were of more value even than diamonds or pearls. And you see, such a wife is to be treasured then. You see, as verse 11 and 12 go on to say, the heart of her husband can safely trust her. He will have no lack of gain because of her, for she will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. And you see, the excellent wife is also someone then who is fully devoted, committed to her husband. She's completely loyal to him. She's someone in whom he can place his complete trust and confidence. You see, he knows that she has his best interests at heart. He knows that she loves him. And of course, any marriage must be built on trust. Trust is one of the most important elements in a healthy marriage relationship. And by being trustworthy then, whether as a wife or as a husband, strong foundation of love and security can be established in the home. And both parties can feel safe and secure in their relationship together. And you see, where a wife is trustworthy then, it will mean that her husband can go to work. He can go away for a time if need be. And do whatever he needs to do as a husband without having to have any fear in regard to her integrity or her wisdom, her discretion in the use of their money or assets or anything else that pertains to his interest. Because you see, his heart safely trusts in her because he knows that all that he has, it's safe with her because she is wise and prudent. And she cares for him, she loves him, she seeks his good. And thus he can rest assured she won't intentionally do anything that would cause him sorrow or pain or distress. You see, he's not having to live in suspicion of his wife then. He's not having to feel worried about her behavior or conduct because she is a woman of integrity and trustworthiness. And he knows she's a precious asset to him then, not a liability. And thus he can depend on her to do him good and not evil all the days of his life. That she will be by his side through thick and thin to support him, to encourage him, to help him at all times, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, until they are finally parted by death. Well, the first thing this chapter speaks about then is the character of the excellent wife and mother. But then in the second place, this chapter also speaks about her work and her work ethic. That is what verses 13 to 25 focus on. And of course, what is said here in these verses also speaks volumes about her character. That she's not afraid of hard work or to give of herself and of her time and her energy in the interests of her family and also of others. Which is why, no doubt, when a teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does, and the next day in a written test when she included this question, my name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the papers were turned in, almost 50% of the students answered with the word mother. Because you see, children recognize a mother's work, as the saying goes, is never done. And mothers work tirelessly then to pick up after their children, to take care of their needs and the needs of their home. And mothers are amazing creatures then. They deserve the utmost respect and love from their husbands and from their children for all that they do for them, for all of their hard work, all of their willing sacrifice to make the home a place of love and comfort and security. Well, verse 13 says, then the excellent wife and mother, she seeks wool and flax. She willingly works with her hands. And this verse speaks of the wool and flax that women in these times would procure to be spun, to be weaved, and then fashioned into clothing for their family. And she would seek wool to ensure that warm clothes were available in the winter, or flax or linen to provide cooler clothing for the summer months. But notice also that she did all of this willingly. There's no complaining about having to do this kind of work, as though it were demeaning or beneath her. No. She does it willingly. She does it with delight, even, for that's what this rich word, Hebrew word used here is meant to convey. And she works willingly and cheerfully then because she loves her family. She sees her work in the home as part of her divine calling to take care of the needs of her family and household. But then verse 14 says she's like the merchant ships, for she brings her food from afar. And you see, she's also willing then to walk, travel long distances if need be, to make sure that her family are well fed, that their nutritional needs were being met for the best price. And maybe some of you are saying, well, that's my wife. She finds these coupons. She drives great distances just to get a bargain in orange juice or some other item. She ends up spending more on gas than we save. Well, maybe, but at least she's trying to be a Proverbs 31 woman. You see, while it doesn't specifically say that cost was the issue here, no doubt it was a factor in the decision-making process. You see, as this chapter indicates, this is a woman who engages in good planning, careful management of all of the resources in her care. And thus we see from verses 15 and 16, she's also willing to rise while it is yet night, to provide food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. And you see, she's ready and willing then to rise early and work late so that she can tend to the needs of all of the members of her household. You see, her household is her top priority. And she's ready and willing then to place the needs of her home and her family above her own comfort and rest even. You see, she's other-centered in her thinking. And thus she's willing to use the money she's obviously managed to save from her hard work in making and selling linen garments and sashes to the merchants, spoken about in verse 24, not merely for self-fulfillment, her own indulgence, but to invest it wisely by purchasing a field, planting a vineyard, something that will provide for her family for many years to come. And you see, she also has an entrepreneurial, enterprising spirit then that leads her to be ever on the lookout for ways and means to invest carefully and wisely for the benefit of her family and household. Not just in the short term, but also in the long term. But then we learn even more about this amazing woman in verses 17 to 19, where we're told she girds herself with strength. She strengthens her arms, and she perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. But she stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. And again, then, we see here, she's not afraid to work with her hands late into the night, even if necessary, to weave cloth, etc., to make clothes and other things. And you see, she doesn't shrink back from arduous or difficult tasks then. Rather, she sets about her work vigorously. She applies herself to the daily tasks of life with all of her strength and energy. For again, she knows that her hard work and efforts, the merchandise and gain that arises from it, it's all calculated to bring benefit to her family and household. And you see, that's what keeps her motivated, animated, committed to acting as she does then, and to work around the clock and in all seasons with that goal and end in view. Which is why, as it says again in verse 21, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. And that refers to her work to provide warm clothing for her family in winter by dyeing the wool she purchases a deep red color so that it can retain more heat. And she's a woman then who thinks ahead. She's a woman who plans for every eventuality. You see, although snow is rare in Palestine, she's nevertheless made preparations for it if it should happen to come. And she's ready then, as we say, for a snowy day. But then notice also, as we see in verse 22, she makes tapestry for herself. Her own clothing is fine linen and purple. And as busy as she is then with all of the other tasks and responsibilities of her home, she doesn't neglect to take care of herself either, to see to it that she dresses well, with elegance and with grace. For she makes her clothing, we're told, not just with linen, but with fine linen. Not just in any kind of cloth or color either, but with purple cloth, color which was always associated with elegance and grace. You see, she also has a concern about her appearance then. She wanted to dress in a way that expressed her femininity and beauty as a woman of God. And it should be evident then from all that has been said thus far that the excellent wife and mother is a woman who strives to apply herself fully to whatever she does. She puts her heart and soul into it, whether it be housework or motherhood or being a helpmeet to her spouse. For as it says in verse 27, she watches over all the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. You see, all of her work and toil then, it's a labor of love for those who are near and dear to her. But notice also, as we've seen, as the chapter goes on to make clear, her conduct, it reaps dividends for her children and her husband. You see, it creates the kind of conditions that help them to flourish and excel. That's why verse 23, for example, tells us, we're told, her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. And the word gates there refers to the gates of the city, which in those days was the place where all of the city's elders and leaders would assemble each day for judicial or legislative purposes. And for anyone to be known by them meant that that person was someone of good repute and accomplishment. And you see, this is placed here as a reminder to all of us here then who are husbands, that without our wives, we wouldn't be half the men that we are. That's why we say behind every successful man, there is a good woman. And that's certainly true of me. And I don't doubt it's true of all of you married men here also. Without my wife, I'd be lost. I'd be a disaster zone. You see, again, this is a good reminder to all of us as husbands then. We ought to love and affirm and appreciate our wives. You see, they are a precious gift from God to us. So easy to take them for granted, to lose sight of what a blessing they are to us. And no doubt this is something that every one of us here, myself included, could likely do a better job of than we do. And as I studied this passage, as I was reflecting on it this week, only makes me see that, brought home to my own heart that all the more. And I'm guessing that is true for all of us here who are married. You see, our wives deserve our love, our praise, our devotion. And we should make every effort then as husbands to seek to see to it that we are ever mindful of that as husbands. Well, we've seen all that a good wife and mother does in relation to her husband and her household then. But I want to also speak briefly here before moving on about what we're told about the work of the excellent wife and mother outside the home also. For notice in verse 20, we're told she also extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. And you see, the love and the care that she has for others then, it goes beyond the four walls of her home and family. For she also demonstrates a compassion for the needs of the poor and the unfortunate around her. And again, here then we see she is a giving person. She has a heart for people. And she's willing then to get involved in the lives of others and seek to do what she can with what she has to alleviate their suffering and to help them, whether it be with food or money or clothing or whatever. And you see, she's a woman then who wants to make a difference in the lives of others wherever she can and however she can. And little wonder then, as we'll see shortly, we're told she is a woman to be praised and honored by all. Well, we need to move on to consider very briefly in the third place the speech of the excellent wife and mother. That's what is spoken about in verse 26, where it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom. On her tongue is the law of kindness. And you see, her words are choice words then. They are well chosen words. Because you see, she's learned the value of making what she says count, of using her mouth for good. And she's learned then when it is appropriate to speak, also when it is not. You see, she's someone who knows that what comes out of her mouth, it is so incredibly important. Especially the words she speaks to her husband and also her children. And as a wife and mother then, she seeks to be gentle and wise and kind in her speech. You see, she recognizes, it says in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, that a word fitly spoken, or spoken at the right time and in the right way, it's like apples of gold in settings of silver, or apples of gold set in a silver basket. Such words offset all of life and prove to be a blessing in the lives of others. You see, as we're reminded by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, fitly spoken words impart grace to those who hear them. They're a means of ministering to them. They're a means of blessing them, of building them up. And all of us then should seek to be like this woman described here in how we speak. You see, we should all have a concern to seek to govern our tongues wisely, to be careful in how we use them. For again, as it says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, we're to remember that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And see, our words and the Our tongues, the words that come from them, they can either build up or destroy then. They can do incalculable good or immeasurable damage. And how we all need to pray then, as I've said before, in the words of Psalm 141 and verse 3, that God would set a guard over our mouths. He would keep watch over the door of our lips, lest we do sin with our tongues and in our words. Well, I want to move on to now consider in the last place the praise of the excellent wife and mother. For that is what is in view as this chapter concludes. We're reminded that our children, they rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." And then we're reminded that charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears thee, Lord, she shall be praised. And then it says in the very last phrase, verse, "Give her of the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates." And you'll notice that the word praise appears here in these verses in one form or another a total of 3 times. And the first time it is used is with regard to what the response of her husband and her children should be toward her. They should rise up and honor and praise her. They should openly express and acknowledge their appreciation for her and all that she does for them. And this is a reminder then for all of you children here to do so, not just on Mother's Day, but all of the time. It's also another reminder to us as husbands to do so as well. Because you see, our wives need affirmation from us. And God calls us to be the one. We're the one He's placed in their lives primarily to provide the affirmation and encouragement that they need. And again, the chances are if we don't lead by example in this way and showing love and respect to our wives by our words and by our conduct, then our children are not likely to do so either. And they should be able to see then that we do love our wives. We do highly esteem them. Indeed, it should be evident to them that we think they excel all others. We wouldn't be prepared to trade them for all the world. Well, a good wife and mother, she's worthy of praise from her children and her husband then. But she's also praised of God because she sees she fears Him. And she's not praised of God then on account of her outward charm and beauty. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. It will fade away. But the fear of the Lord is something that God looks upon with delight. And it draws forth from His heart a response of praise. You see, true beauty in the eyes of God is that which is inward. It's a matter of the heart. Isn't that what Peter reminds us of in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, when he writes that a woman is not to let her adornment be merely outward, consisting in the arranging of the hair, the wearing of gold, or in putting on of fine apparel. But he says, rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And you see, this is something then that the woman described in Proverbs 31 has obviously understood, sought to take to heart, sought to focus on and cultivate in her life. For she fears the Lord, and thus she lives all of her life before Him. She's taken up with being well-pleasing in His sight. You see, that is what the fear of the Lord looks like. That's what it produces in the life of any individual. It gets an attitude and posture of reverence toward God and devotion to God, a devotion that leads to a godly life, a life with God at its center. And you see, this is really the secret of this woman's character and life then. Everything that is said about her in this chapter, you see, this is primarily what animates her. And it's the spirit of the fear of the Lord that permeates everything else that she is and she does. And thus it clothes her with strength and honor, as it says in verse 25. Spiritual strength to fulfill her calling in life as a wife and a mother. And lasting honor and esteem from God and men because of her fidelity in seeking to do so. You see, the fruit of her hands and her own works, they magnify her works, her worth, her praise in the eyes of both. And thus she can rejoice in time to come. She can smile at the future, as it can be translated. Because you see, she knows her life is right with God and men. Her priorities are what they should be. And she sought to do what she can to serve and honor God, however imperfectly, and those that he has placed in her life. And you see, she can look to the future with hope, with confidence then, knowing that her times are firmly in God's loving and capable hands. And he will continue to be to her all that she needs as she does go about the daily tasks of a wife and a mother. And that her life will continue to have real meaning and value as she commits her way to God and as she lives her life for him and to him. Well, friends, our time is gone. But I trust we can all see why this woman is described here, that is described here, is presented to us as an example of what the excellent wife and mother looks like. And her example is set before all women by God then as being worthy of emulation. And I say to all of you young, unmarried women here then, this is the kind of woman you should ask God to enable you to aspire to be like. Not to take your ideas about womanhood from the world or culture around you that are so often so perverse and so utterly removed from the wisdom of God himself. But rather ask God to work within you the graces, the attitudes that we see on display here. And to all of you ladies who are already married, seeking to be the kind of woman that God wants you to be, can I just take the opportunity to encourage you to keep on keeping on? It's not easy being a wife and a mother. It's not easy having to live with some of us men at times. And no doubt many of you feel underappreciated, overwhelmed, maybe even at times. As you do try to faithfully fulfill your callings in life, to be godly wives and mothers. And you may well think to yourself on many an occasion, your work is pretty thankless. You wonder maybe to yourself if it's all worth it. But you see, never forget God sees and knows your heart. He's taking careful notice of your life, your love, your toil, your labors. Nothing you do then goes unnoticed by God, nor will it go unrewarded by him either. You see, the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She shall rejoice in time to come. And so say to all of you sisters in Christ here, be encouraged and keep on keeping on. And may God bless each and all of you in your role as wives and mothers. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of marriage. We thank you for the gift of a home, of children. We thank you for the gift of wives and mothers who love you, who fear you, who seek to be a blessing in our homes. We do pray that you would bless all of the ladies here as wives, as mothers. We do pray, Lord, give them all that they need to persevere in seeking to love you and be obedient to you, seeking to pattern their lives in accordance with the standards of your word. We do pray, Lord, in times when they do perhaps feel overwhelmed with all of the work and tasks of daily life, that they would always know that you are looking upon them with favor. You delight in them to see their time, the energy that they expend in seeking the good of others. We do pray, Lord, that that would be an encouragement to them to keep on keeping on. We do pray for all of the husbands, myself included, that we would see that we have a calling and a responsibility in life toward our wives, to love them, to affirm them, to show our appreciation for them. And we do pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for our sins, our shortcomings in this area. Help us to be honest with ourselves and with our spouses for all of our imperfections. Help us to confess them and ask for forgiveness when there is a need. We pray for the children here, some maybe who do take their mothers for granted at times, or maybe rebellious, cheeky, whatever else in their homes. We pray, Lord, that you would impress it on their hearts, their sin in this regard. We do pray, Lord, that they would see that a mother who loves them, who cares for them, who provides for them, is a rich blessing, not something to be taken for granted. We pray then that all of our children would grow up to love and respect both their mothers and their fathers. And we do pray, Lord, that you would bless our homes with the light and love of your grace. We do pray you would help us in all of our ways. Help us not to be looking to the world and its ways and ideas of what is good and right and proper, that we would see the wisdom of this world is nothing but foolishness with you, that true wisdom comes from above. And so, Lord, we pray that we would seek the wisdom that is from above, instill it within our hearts. Help us to live all of life before you. Unite our hearts to fear your name, to walk with you, to love you, serve you in whatever way that we can, in the home or outside of it. And help all of us, we pray. Keep us in all of our ways and help us to think on these things throughout this day. Bring us out again this afternoon, we pray. Take away our every sin. We ask it all in Jesus' name. We pray it for his sake alone. Amen.